Now, let's start with another given. Let's start with another given. That is, things don't happen to Klal Yisrael. Things don't happen to Klal Yisrael. There's no such thing as something that happened as a result of circumstance. Hashem is very intimately involved in leading the path, guiding the path of Klal Yisrael through the things that happen to them, etc. And that's why we want to move ourselves into the spiritual dynamic of what's going on. Again, not in terms of why, not in terms of why, but in terms of so what's lemais, what's the call? And there is a call, there is a call. That's a call that the Rambam tells us that we've mentioned quite a number of times in this forum also. When a tzara comes upon Klal Yisrael, it's always to be interpreted as a call for tefillah, a call for tshuva, which basically means a call for rising higher, rising to the occasion. It's always to be interpreted that way. And the Rambam goes on and says that if we don't respond that way, but we say, Minigo mikrahu, these things can happen. Then derech achzorius, the Rambam says, it's actually a form of cruelty because he says that that can chalila cause more tzaras to come. But we'll add, based on what we were discussing earlier, that it's also a form of cruelty to leave again the karbanis in a place of, well, why did this happen? What was the end result of it? Well, they were the victims of a massive oversight. Instead of saying they're being used as vehicles of bringing Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem, of bringing me closer to Hashem, and thereby giving them a much greater standing in Shemayim. And therefore, we want to move into this mindset of the what we're going to call the spiritual dynamic here. So number one, and we'll talk perhaps in a few more basic ways, in a few more practical points on myself, but the overarching picture here, and this connects to things we've discussed back in the Corona days also, is to, number one, see what Hashem is doing. First of all, to see through anything else going on and see Hashem, that Hashem is at work. Now let's give that some perspective. Oh, okay, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point, and this is what we're going to get to. Over the last couple of years, we've experienced quite a number of rounds of missile attacks, of many, many, many attempts, piguim, etc. And this last year, the last year included very many tragic events before this very big one, this colossal one. But we've also seen tkufas before that, in the recent past before that, we saw tkufas that almost a certain reality of missiles rain down and nobody gets hurt. Missiles rain down, 1,500 missiles, nobody gets hurt. So there's Iron Dome and there's statistics, et cetera, but at the end of the day, Rabbosai, it is uncanny to the extent of naturally impossible that so many missiles should be falling and just a reality of no one getting hurt. Or a reality of hearing about on a regular basis, two, three shootings a day. And again, on a regular basis, no one getting hurt. And here, there's room for, so anybody attuned, and I would definitely think that anybody in this room or on this computer makes that grade. Anybody attuned says to themselves, this is Yad Hashem, this is Hashem protecting these people. But then there's a couple of questions. The question is, first of all, how intensely do we hold on to that feeling? How much do we live it? And how much do we allow it to get clouded with being impressed by the technology, by the ability, feeling like we have mighty forces defending us in the natural sense, in the completely natural sense? Even then, so many of these instances were things that were, in many cases of piguim that were blocked at the last minute, where there was not information beforehand knowing about it, where they were stopped in a haphazard way at a checkpoint, etc. Many, many, many such cases. So with all the intelligence and all the modi'in and all the sophistication, still does not explain the levels of protection that we've witnessed. And the obviously where Hashem is endeavoring to move us into a place of sensing ourselves in his hands. And therefore we can actually rightfully say that this is just another shara, because that's what it's all about. It's about sensing in a very, very sensory way how we are in his hands. And then, Litzlan, we were shown the same thing from the opposite end. Now again, we are not talking about why. Why goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's beyond us. We're not talking about why. But we're talking about what did we witness? What did we witness? And what we witnessed was seeing that from the opposite angle, that we're in Hashem's hands and not in anybody else's. And nobody else has the power or the ability to protect us. This was an unbelievable blow to the sense of security because of the ability of the sophistication of the technology of the might of the army. And that's why the discussion about how did it happen, etc., or we want to try to move away as much as we can from getting into the natural cause and effect, because the call here is to move into a world of sensing only Hashem's control. And therefore, anything from keeping track of, oh, so we have full backing from the US, which countries are on which side, to, so what was it that actually went wrong, is pulling us back down to the world of Derech HaTeva, of natural cause and effect, of what the Rambam says, right? Dava zemi minega olam. Yeah, that's how these things work. But that's how these things work. Was unbelievably uncanny. It was just as unnatural. I don't say just as unnatural, but it was unnatural in the same way that the protection that we experienced was unnatural. What happened here was unnatural. And the Kuzari makes that point, that Klal Yisrael, Hashem's intimate involvement with Klal Yisrael, is seen from both sides of the coin. It's seen from the side of the coin of the protection and the supernatural anhaga, which was obviously epitomized back in the days of the great Malchut Yehuda, of the great Shoftim, but also in our times. And you also see it through the things that Hashem moves Klal Yisrael through. While also the Tzoras Rachmana Litzlan take on an unnatural nature of Hashem, conveying the message of it's me and only me. It's me and only me. And to a very large extent, that's the call here. That's the call here, to move into that world, to move into a reality, a world of Ein Oid Mevad. Question?
People who survived. It was one woman with two children belonging to her neighbor, and they took her to the border, and then they let her go.
There you go. Who knows? Who knows what's what? And here also, we'll say again, what was the chev? We're not getting into why each person, why in general, why each person, etc. We're talking about at the end of the day, what are we supposed to do with it? What are we supposed to do with it? I sent around, I don't know if everybody saw, I sent around a 15-minute little piece from a Rebbe of mine, Bichiel Yaakovson, about what he just said last week about the issue. And he described how the difference between the time of the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, what the general sense was in Eretz Yisrael, and the difference in the way the Gedolim were relating to it at the time. The time before the Six-Day War was preceded by an unbelievable fear, by terror. There was a sense of doom. There was a sense of that Eretz Yisrael, tiny little Eretz Yisrael, is helpless and is about to be overrun by forces much more powerful than it. It's to the extent that the official Chevra Kadisha dug 8,000 graves for what they expected to be the first round of casualties back in before the Six-Day War. And Rabbi Chesko Avramsky was actually relaxed. And he said, explained, that the reason he feels secure is because there's a clear sense of we have no one to rely on, only Hashem. Was everybody relying on Hashem? I don't know. But there was a very powerful feeling among those who were attuned that our only hope is Hashem. There's nothing else to rely on. And that was followed by smashing events, by unbelievable, I don't want to use the word victories, because that already will be a little bit diverting the point. Unbelievable Yeshuas that went, again, way beyond any sense of natural. And what was that followed? How's the sound now? Is the sound of the computer okay? Or is it faint?
Good.
Now, the issue was that was followed by, after those amazing Yeshuas, or if we take the term down a bit, lower it a notch or two, after those amazing victories, they settled in a sense of, wow, look what we are and what we can do. Look at our power. There was a reality there that when a Jew walked into an Arab neighborhood, they all ran hiding. And this brought about a real sense of cockiness. I actually heard an excerpt of I don't remember now if I heard it or saw it quoted, of when Yitzhak Rabin, who was the chief of staff at the time, and he was interviewed afterwards, and a lot of the world was trying to figure out what actually happened. Was it that there was all kinds of things being said? Were there actually U.S. forces fighting among them? How could this have happened? Was there some sort of secret weapon used? And the chief of staff was asked this question, and he responded with offense. He said, do you not understand that this was not about secret weapons and not about external intervention? It was about the ability of our army, right? It was about the koichi v'oitzem yodi. And it was actually Lushitasa, when I heard him say, this was already when I was a bacher here in Eretz Yisrael, this was way before my time, that when I actually heard on one address of his, when I was a bacher here in Eretz Yisrael, I think it was on Yom HaTzmaut, where he said, we actually said it, the Pem Mole. He said the words. These were mamish drawing on the Lashon of the Pasuk. Bekochenu ubeotzim yadeinu asinu lanu et hachayil hazeh. Mamish. Use the words. He was a biblical Jew. I guess didn't have exactly the context, but he was familiar with the Lashonis of the Lashon. Hey, mamish, put it out that way. With exactly what the pasuk says, lest you say exactly that. Mamish, those words, right? Using the words of the pasuk. And this is where Rabbi Chil said, he was close to Rav Shach at the time, Rabbi Chesko Avramsky, in other words, this is where their confidence started to wane. And they started being concerned, where is this heading? And there was that cockiness, that confidence, that sense of superpower. And that we know what happened 6 years later when all of that was smashed with the fiasco of the Yom Kippur War, which was followed by an unbelievable disillusionment and by many, many people, high officers in the army, leaving Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Chil said that at that point, Rabbi Chesko Avramsky's mood switched back. And he said, at this point, okay, Hashem took away, did the chesed of taking away that obstruction. And now we're back to a sense of Eilanu Amil Yishayin. We have to continue with the next part. But the Eilanu Amil Yishayin is an avoida. of being able to see through it and to see we are in Hashem's hands. Now, I want to connect this to things that we've discussed other times, because again, are we endeavoring to explain the depth of Hashem's Maasim? No. As we're getting closer and closer to the end of times, there are deep things going on. But what, Victor, what are we witnessing? We went through the Tkufa of Corona, which was a very, again, just use the word uncanny, just for lack of a better statement. We went through it to a large extent together. So about the people in this room, we were talking about it at the time. And then also you just invite to anybody attuned was experiencing and internalizing a reality of Hashem is saying, Rabbeisai, I am taking my world back into my control. And all the givens, Gevin v'toshavim atem imadi. No givens, no automatics, none of the things that we came to really, really view as under our belts exist anymore. And I remember feeling at the time, and I think I actually said it in this forum here. I think I said it in this forum here. It was a very, very powerful tkufa of Hashem raising us up to realizations that we probably always understood intellectually, but couldn't really get to, really internalizing in such a real sensory kind of way, a reality of living not on our turf, a moving into reality of being comfortable living in a world of that only Hashem calls the shots, and we have to let go of everything. There are no givens. Hashem says, I owe you nothing, nothing of what you used to, nothing of none of the givens, none of the automatics, etc. You live in my world where I call the shots and only I call the shots. Unpredictable, no sense of familiarity. This is my world. Are you comfortable moving into that world? Are you going to be among those who are going to be those people who are embracing such a world? A world of absolute Hashem Melech. And we expressed this back then, that when the Bechasdei Hashem, the vaccines became available. So I remember my feeling was like, Chasdei Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. But does this mean that we're just moving back into the old world and zero? But the truth is that it really was the next stage of the Nisayan. Hashem was saying, okay, I showed it to you crystal clear. Have you internalized that clarity? Can you take that clarity back into the so-called old world? Can you move back into a world where you can decide where to go and when? You can decide who to meet and when, etc. Can you move back into that world by holding on to that reality? That was the next stage of the Nisayan. Not Pashut. Not Pashut. We're witnessing the same things. We're witnessing the same things, and now it's specific to the Am Hashem, and the specific within Am Hashem to that Yoishvim Ba'atzein, the people are actually living in the Paltarim Shel Melech. And we can't get away from the call of moving to a world of Ein Oid Milvadeh. Moving to a world of Ein Oid Milvadeh where what you're experiencing is, and this is this, that we can give Klal Yisrael that much more Oiz, that much more security. If we find our shelter now, not by looking around and saying, okay, so what protection do we have? Okay, there was a major oversight, but the army remains what it is. But we have those two massive aircraft carriers right off the coast, et cetera, et cetera. So Beseder, we can breathe comfortably. We're going to be giving Klal Yisrael that much more power, that much more strength, that much more security if we move into a world of Yoshev Beseser Elyon. We are in the shelter of Hashem. The more we sense that, the more that will be our reality. This is what we can do for Klal Yisrael. For ourselves and for Klal Yisrael. Now, at a point that Rav Dessler says, a very, very powerful point, which comes, it comes out in a few different angles and things that he said. There's a very, Maybe you remember we sent this out back in the Corona days, where he gives a very long description of all the reality of Olam Hazeh disintegrating, all the security of Olam Hazeh disintegrating, which mamish matched the reality of the Corona period then. Mamish, sentence by sentence, it was like, wow, he's describing our times. Now, I'm not going to go to Ruach HaKodesh route. He probably wrote this right after the Holocaust or during the Holocaust, but it matched it perfectly. And his point that he was making was, and if you remember, we actually said this also about the Indian of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. But the point that he was making was, he said that the process leading us toward the Geula is a process where you witness the disintegration of Olam Hazeh. Of its, now, this doesn't mean that you're going to watch things melting away. It means that you're going to watch a disintegration of the concepts of security, the concepts of the power of Olam Hazeh. You watch it be drained of all that, which is going to lead to the gilui of the Asid Lavo. Now, we don't want to leave this on the esoteric track, because by reading his shtickle carefully, you see that it is not about watching esoteric processes, but it's a process that we're meant to be an active part of, to be looking at these things and saying, not everybody will see it. Not everybody will see the disintegration of Olam Hazeh. Many people will see, oh, there was an oversight. Oh, that went wrong. That went wrong. But really, we can still fall back on our good old solid ground of our Olam Hazeh and whatever we're used to and whatever securities we always believed we had. But there are those who will, in their own minds, they'll be seeing the world I always considered my world, that's not the world I'm in now. And I'm in a world of Malchus Hashem and only Malchus Hashem. Without him, we have no protection. With him, we have all the protection we need, and we need nothing else. That's all we need. That, Rav Dessler says, the process of the Geula is not a process of an abrupt switch from all of a sudden, there's the material reality and it switches to Olam Haba reality. This is a process that begins with us. The more in our minds, the more you have one Jew and another Jew and another Jew who only sees Malchus Hashem in the world around him, that's the world he lives in, the more it's accumulating toward that. The more it's accumulating toward that. And that will lead in to Hashem coming and objectively just showing it all. But each of us wants to be another contributing factor to that, to be another Jew who's made that transition from the world of Derech HaTeva, from the world of Koichi V'Oitzem Yadi, from the world of all the material givens. I've made the transition. Through my own efforts, through my own internalization, through my own hisboinenus, I've made the transition from that world into a world of only Malchus Hashem, even when other people right next to me might still be living that old Olam Hazeh, or think that they're still living there, or think that it ever was there. Again, I'll pee things that I've heard from people greater than me now, and I'll pee the things that the Gdolei HaDeres have been saying throughout the Deres. This is what we make say is the broad, overarching call here in terms of, we talked about when a Jew goes through a Nisayon, and when Am Yisrael goes through a Nisayon, the goal is that afterwards we come out, the Nisayon turns out to have been a stepping stone. We move on to the next stage after that on a higher plane. It's in this sense. It's in this sense. And now to try to bring it together in a few practical steps we could make. So first of all, that is a practical step. That view, experiencing life that way, moving away from any, to run away from that. This also, Michiel made this point in his little piece, but this is something that's always been said by the Gdolei HaDeres, is that the more you involve yourself with all the details of the news and the media, the more you will be pulling yourself into that whole suction of Derech HaTeva, cause and effect, what causes what, who caused what, how caused what, who will cause, et cetera, et cetera. We want to see if we can remove any of that as much as we possibly can from our vision, from our line of sight. But to try to tuck and nail it into a few more practical steps, a few more areas of focus, a few more areas of focus. Sorry. So what are a few areas of focus to put the focus on particularly? So, of course, the basic response, and this is what we say in the Rambam, is tefillah, right? Tefillah is something to discuss at very great length. There's always room to be mischazik in tefillah. But Reiter, drawing off what Rabbi Yechiel said, now I'm going to view as bringing together things that I've also heard b'shem b'gdei HaDeiros throughout these periods. If we want to just take it for ourselves into a doable, practical, bite-sized kind of way, we would say three prakim of Tehillim a day. Three prakim of Tehillim a day. And there are the classic Pirkei Tehillim to be said b'Sha'as Tzara. We're familiar with those. Tzadi Aleph, Kuf Lamed, Kuf Mem Beis, particularly in Eis Milchama, Pei Gimel is noted as a capital to say. I would suggest, and again, the suggestion is when you're saying this, you're saying Yeshiva, which is all talking about the idea of living in the security of Hashem hovering over you, Hashem hovering around you, to be saying it both besides the personal kavanah, to be saying it about Klal Yisrael, to be saying it about all of us, be davening for Klal Yisrael. This also transitions into the next stage of the discussion, which is the Achdus element. Achdus in our tefillah. I'm davening for myself as a part of the whole Klal Yisrael. And another suggestion in terms of the mindset of the world of Ein Oid Milvades, we've discussed many times how the more refined levels of bitachon are, and this is vital, this is mamish the sugya of Sha'ar bitachon, which we've been so busy with. Bitachon, we've stressed time and time again as we've moved through Churos HaLevavos, and that's the point that the Churos HaLevavos makes right at the beginning of Sha'ar bitachon. Bitachon is often something that people view as a coping mechanism. It's also why we've discussed this also when we started Churos HaLevavos. Many times, people when they hear Churos HaLevavos, they want to jump to Sha'ar bitachon. They want to learn Sha'ar bitachon is what they want to learn because that's what will be my crutch when I need it. We have to understand that Sha'ar bitachon is also a wonderful coping mechanism, just as much of Yiddishkeit is. But it's first and foremost avodah. It's first and foremost about our dynamic with Hashem. And it's something that's meant to be a lifetime career, something that you're working on from day to day, from moment to moment, growing in your bitachon all the time. And this leads us to a very fundamental point. We've stressed it time and time again, and it's particularly relevant now. You ask a person, what's bitachon? The essence of bitachon, as the Churos HaLevavos describes it, is feeling secure in Hashem's hands. The clear realization that I'm in Hashem's hands and feeling absolutely secure as a result. Classically, I shouldn't say classically, naturally, that becomes relevant when you're facing scary, uncertain, uncomfortable circumstances. And you want to remind yourself that I'm in Hashem's hands, I have that security. But that's very much limiting it to very specific circumstances. Bitachon is really something much broader. And this is what Rabbi Avigdor Miller related to this as the higher, more refined levels of Bitachon. And it's the other side of the coin of Bitachon. Bitachon when everything is fine. How do you work on Bitachon when everything is okay? And the answer is, this is the more challenging avodah. Why do you feel secure today? Why shouldn't I? Everything is fine. Walking through the street. Why are you not scared of coyotes from the mountains coming and attacking you? I hope I'm not introducing new fears. Okay, but there are coyotes out in the mountains. They're dangerous animals. Many of them have rabies. Let's all be appreciate the danger and walk through the streets in fear. Why aren't we worried? Because we're secure. Coyotes don't come into RBS out. Okay. Now, so we have that sense of security. The call is, can you take that sense of security from the place of, well, because it never happens, and say, no, because Hashem is protecting us from coyotes. Now, this is going to get a little complicated if you're going to go through the full list of wildlife. But that's not the idea. The idea is to take givens in our life to be able to say, the areas where we are secure in life, Baruch Hashem, I'm healthy. Why do I trust that I'll be healthy tomorrow? Because I'm in Hashem's hands. I'm healthy because I'm in Hashem's hands. I have parnasa because I'm in Hashem's hands. Here is something you can latch on to the many brachas that we say a day. Vayta, I'm giving this over from Rabbi Chiya. I'm not going to keep repeating that. Many of the things I'm saying here are based on that. You take one of the brachas, this is really a common denominator to virtually all the brachas we say throughout the day. All the brachas we say throughout the day are on natural phenomena that we pretty much view as predictable, things that we can count on. From Pekeach Ivrim to Asher Yotzar to Bari Pri Ha'etz. To be able to, with the bracha, to say it's not just thanking Hashem, but even more than that, developing that sense of dependence. Why do I have food available to me? Why is my pantry stocked? Why can't I just pull out an apple and eat it? Because Hashem is taking care of me. Not because, well, because we have a lot of apples. That's not an issue. But because Hashem is taking care of me. Asher Yotzar, come out of the bathroom and thank Hashem for a functioning body. It's moving that sense of security and just, well, there's nothing wrong with me right now, to Hashem is running my body. You can take one or two brachas a day and decide in advance that, to give it this focus. There's the stress on the Achdus, which is particularly stressed in Agiat HaMilchama. That Achdus is a very, very powerful koyach when it comes to Klal Yisrael going out to Milchama. Yitzchak Berkowitz, in his address to, when he spoke about our questions being asked to Bli Nedar, we'll come back to it. I think we're going to go on for Bli Nedar another 7 minutes or so, and I hope to get back to that question. The sense of Achdus, Yitzchak Berkowitz was asked to speak to parents from Chutz Lars who have children learning here. Also, last week, they sent out a short, like 10 to 15 minute clip. Parents who are very nervous about their children here, should they bring them back, etc. So, I guess this is coming after the halachic premise. I mean, the first question is, what is the actual halachic reality? Is considered a makom sakana that requires people to go away? But past that, what he said to the parents was as follows. He said, appreciate the value. He said, Klal Yisrael has matured, has become a greater people, a more weathered people because of the things they've been through. He said, you have to appreciate the value of your child being here now and experiencing what's in the air, experiencing the sense of solidarity, experiencing the achdus that is permeating the air now. He said, you want to just bring your child back and let that all go over his or her head. It's a shame. That is such a powerful piece in their maturity, in their growth. And here we want to stress, when we talk about Achdus, Achdus often turns into philosophical and theoretical discussion about why isn't there Achdus between these different groups. Now, so when we talk about being mischazik in our Achdus, we don't mean let's be mischazik in our philosophizing about why X, Y, Z. Ever notice it's especially fascinating. Achdus often turns into a battle cry, right? Sometimes you see how there's like, almost sometimes seems like there's color war teams. There's Team Achdus and Team Achloikis, and Team Achdus is yelling against Team Achloikis. How come you guys don't believe in Achdus? But whatever the case is, when we're talking about Achdus, we're talking about, in the most immediate sense, the people we're coming into contact with, the people around us, spreading as much as we can on the personal level of, and yes, extending it to all the efforts that are being made for people beyond our immediate zone. There's the koyach, so we talk about the koyach of tefillah, we talked about the koyach of achdus, we talked about the issue of Eid Milvada, which is a major protective factor. It brings us to a level of, the Subchan Volozhin talks about this at length, how a person can be either under the subject to the reality of Derech HaTeva and Olam Kiminhag, or he can rise himself above that based on where he is in his mind. If you're in a world of all kinds of forces at work and who knows how it's going to come together, or I hope it'll come together this way, I trust it'll come together that way, then you remain under the influence and control of Olam Kiminhag. If you move yourself above that and say it's all meaningless. The protection is meaningless. The dangers are meaningless. Meaningless as in and of themselves, having their own power. They're indications from Hashem. And I move myself to a reality of Einoi Milvado. He's the only one calling the shots here. That will be your reality. So the Einoi Milvado is a very powerful factor here also in terms of the efforts. And here the question was brought up What about the fear that Hashem will take it away in an instant, like he did for all the Kedoshim killed in the war? How do you feel secure knowing that Hashem let so many people be tortured and killed? It's kind of the point that we're making here. The message is that we are in Hashem's hands and not in anybody else's. Now, there is danger, but there's a very big difference if you're relating to it as who knows what's going to happen on the natural level, or as long as in Hashem's hands, it's Hashem deciding what's going to happen. It's Hashem deciding what's going to happen. We've learned Chayvus, we'll learn Shara B'Tochen long enough to understand that there is a big difference between facing a perspective or going through a perspective or deal with the understanding that I'm in Hashem's hands, or with the understanding that, okay, I was a victim of all kinds of natural occurrences. The point is that here Hashem showed us, you don't have protection other than me. And now the question is, can you move that sense over? Does it mean a guarantee that nothing will happen? No. But what it does mean is that you're moving yourself to a place of, the more we sense it, the more Hashem tells us, then I will not allow those other influences to protect you. The truth is that our natural reality was that we're surrounded by enemies who want to kill us all the time. And it was Hashem who was holding it up against them. All he did was let go of his siyata d'shmaya in this situation and all of their ability and sophistication. They were able to actually see what was happening in front of them with their own eyes, which was actually the case. They were busy discussing it until 4 in the morning, to my understanding. And it just went over their heads. Hashem struck them blind. Hashem struck them blind. And then nature took its course. So we're not saying, we're talking about the understanding that the things that we are secure about, let's feel secure about them because we're in Hashem's hands. That's the point. Do we have a guarantee that other things won't happen? Because we don't have such a guarantee. But the point is, let's move our security away from natural sources of security. Whatever we do feel secure about, let's move that over to Hashem's hands. And the things that we don't feel secure about, don't seek the security in other sources. Seek the security over from Hashem. I hope that that kind of clarified the issue. It really deserves more elaboration. The other factor is the Koach HaTorah, which is also cited particularly in the sense of Milchama, which is really the most direct offshoot of the understanding that with Klal Yisrael, things don't happen. It's always a spiritual dynamic. And therefore, we understand that we can be feeding that spiritual dynamic through our efforts. This is relevant to everything. This is relevant to all the efforts we're making in our chizuk, in the emuna we've been talking about, the emuna and bitachon, in the tefillos we've been talking about, and a very, very powerful factor in this regard, which the Gemara notes, is the Koach HaTorah as a very, very necessary fuel for the hishtadlus that's going on, even though I'm talking to an olam of women, but it's not the direct call to them, we're still going to stress it because we're all in that reality of appreciating it, encouraging it, furthering it, with the understanding that that was the intelligence back in the time of David HaMelech's days. The Gemara talks about how David HaMelech expressed in Tehillim, he said that these soldiers are carrying the koyach of those who are back in Yerushalayim learning. So it's this understanding with the sense of achrayas that we are also on the front lines. We are, those of us who are back here, are fueling the front lines through our efforts, which need to be stepped up in all these different areas, in the tefillah, in the bitachon, the achdus, in the koach HaTorah, and in general, all chizukim that we can make at this time, with the realization that they are contributing A, toward the hishtadlus, toward the Yeshua Bezos Hashem, and B, toward getting us to that world, getting us to that higher, more pristine world, more directly in Hashem's hands, moving Klal Yisrael closer to its ultimate destiny. And Bezos Hashem, like we said, that should be an immense Iwi Neshama for the Kedoshim who were killed, and it should be a great zchus for those who are in danger, for the wounded, for those in captivity, Rahman al-Islam, We should be zeicher to see Hashem's chesed begalui with the Yeshua for every last member of Klal Yisrael in the Nechama by seeing them all come back to life in Hera B'Yamim.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Well,
very meaningful.